You know, I thought we had a good week last week, but somebody this morning greeted me with this bit of wisdom and said, you know, he always was told that a pastor has a good beginning and a good ending and not too much in the middle.
Yeah.
And I told him I didn't hear that. I have a lot in the middle. And so there we are. I don't know how many of you have been a patient in the hospital ever. But if you're a person who likes to be in control, who likes to have a little privacy, who likes to kind of, you know, order your time a little bit, don't go. Because the moment that you put on that gown, everything is open. Right? Yeah, some of you got that. Yeah, it's just kind of all over from there, right? I mean, the hospitals are great. Nurses are great. Doctors are good. It's a wonderful place to be if you're ill or if you're needing to have some surgery or if they're doing some tests. It's a wonderful kind of place. But it is, wow. If you think that you want to have it all together, that's not the place you want to be. Unless you're like this one woman that was a member of my church a few years ago, and I waited with her and her family while she went through this major surgery, and we were all anxious to see her when she got out, and the nurse came and told us everything was okay, but she wasn't ready for visitors yet. And we just were like, what's up? You know, is something wrong? And she says, oh, no. She just has to get her hair done and her makeup on. Yeah, we chuckle, but none of us want to look messy. Amen? We don't want to look messy on the outside. I mean, you even put yourselves together to come to church this morning, didn't you? We think somehow that if people really knew who we were, if people really knew what we were thinking, if people really knew what we had done, if people really saw us just as we are, well, it might not be so good. We might not like that. We might seem less than we want others to think about us. We want to be more put together. I mean, think about it. We want to be put together when we're at work. We want to be put together before we have company drop by the house. Don't come to our house yet. We want our cars to look okay. We want our jobs to look like they're okay. We want our relationships and our families to look and sound okay. We even want our relationship with God to look like it's all okay, when on the inside, it may not be altogether great. Amen? Sometimes it's just easier to pretend that everything is okay and going well than to share honestly what we are really thinking or feeling or what's really going on inside. And our faith journey is no exception. We put on our church clothes, we put on our smiles, and when someone asks us how we're doing, we say, I'm fine. See, you know that line. You know that line. So I want you to turn to someone right now, and I want you to say to them, I'm not fine. Would you just do that? Yeah, see, that even sounded weird, didn't it? And some of you are going, oh, dear heaven, don't ask me what's wrong. And others of you are going, oh, don't tell me what's wrong. Right? Oh, we feel it. We feel it. And chances are pretty good that everything is not fine. That something is not quite right. We're all a little bit disorganized. We all from time to time rebel. We all feel a little anxious. We all from time to time have made a mistake, one or two, Okay, maybe three on my count. And when it comes to our faith relationship with Jesus, it's just no different. We wish we were more spiritual. We wish our prayer life was a little stronger. We wish maybe we knew more about the Bible than we do. We wish somehow that we were always able to say the right things and do the right things and be the right kind of person with everyone. But it doesn't always work that way. So if this describes you, if life is a little messy in your world, take heart. God's preference is for people who are messy. Jesus didn't come to those whose lives were already perfect. He came to those who lived life in a mess, whose lives were a mess. So you and me, with all our faults and imperfections, with all our defects and failures, with all of our hang-ups and emotional kind of ins and outs, with all of our weaknesses, with all of our strengths, we are God's beloved. I mean, just turn to somebody else and say to them, you are God's beloved. That feels a little bit better than I'm not fine, huh? You are God's favored child. You are the one that Jesus wanted to come and eat a meal with. You are the one that Jesus came and wanted to spend time with. You are the one that Jesus came and wanted to teach great wisdom to. You are the one who Jesus said, you are part of my family. You have always been that one. So if you're finding yourself a little bit like Frank was in letters to God, who said, dear God, I'm doing the best I can, take heart. Jesus hears you and is nearby. These next few weeks, we're going to be in a series called Messy. And we're going to look at what it's like to have a messy life that is very spiritual, that is very much where Jesus meets us, which is very much where God wants us to be, which is very much where God can use us for God's maximum kind of benefit. And so I just want to say, I think it's going to be a good series for us all, because after, 60 years on this earth and all those years trying to walk with Jesus, trying to be that kind of person, and I find myself still a bit of a mess, it's good news. It's good news. So take heart today and hear what we are about to discover is true, as the psalmist says it in Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Now, God, don't hold out on me. Don't hold back your passion. Your love and truth are all that keeps me together. Amen. When troubles ganged up on me, a mob of sins past counting, I was so swamped by guilt, I couldn't see my way clear. More guilt in my heart than hair on my head, so heavy the guilt that my heart gave out. And me? I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes. But God, don't put it off. Oh, can't you feel those words? Don't hold out on me, God. My life is a mess. Don't put it off too long, because I won't last that long. That almost seems to be our prayer some days. Amen. Make something out of me. Man, that's a real prayer. That's a real good news kind of prayer. That God loves us at our messiest, even when we hold back and don't want to be seen as weak, God is there. Like the psalmist says, the guilt that we feel from our sin, man, that's great sometimes, is it not? But that's not who we are. And that's not how God sees us. We, who we are children of God, made in God's image. Oh, we may have a little dust and dirt on us, but God knows who we are underneath all of that. God knows our hearts. We may end up from time to time living and believing and acting more like that sin, more like that guilt, more like that distance from God. But when we decide to let God in, when we decide to let God see us and live with us really in our mess, just as we are, when God sees us and knows us in that kind of way, God comes to us in the midst of our difficult times and changes us. God then has the opportunity to comfort us. God then has the opportunity as that master potter to reshape us, to remold us, to give us a new kind of life, and to make us into something beautiful once again. Now think about this for a minute. When you think about a best friend, all right, everybody got a friend you can think of like a best friend? Is that best friend perfect? No. I mean, in fact, when you think of finding a friend, do you look for a perfect person? No. Who wants to be a friend with a perfect person? Right? No, we look for somebody who's got a few warts and wiggles around, right? We want a friend who's going to know what it's like to be real. We want a friend who we know that understands us when we need to be real. We want a friend who's a lot like us. Amen? We want a friend who's messy. Agreed? Who do you think Jesus came looking for? Not the perfect. In fact, what the gospel say? They are in need of a physician. They are in need of a savior because they think they have it all together. He comes for those who know that they need a friend. They need a friend who will meet them in that place. They need a friend who can understand that we are all still works in progress. So why is it that we strive to be perfect before we come to know Jesus? Who's the only one who can make us perfect? So here's the thing. Get messy with God. Be real with God. Be honest with God. Say to God, my life is a mess. Come to me, O God, and don't put it off. I need you. What guilt do you feel swamped by? What insecurities or weaknesses make you feel like a mess and are preventing you from knowing Jesus today? Well, it's just a question to ponder. I'm going to move on, though. Because as you admit and understand those insecurities and weaknesses with God, you begin to see how much God loves you for who you are. God won't reject you for who you are. God will love you all the more for who you are. And when you understand that, not only does it impact your relationship with God, it impacts your relationship with other people. Amen? Because when you understand that God can love you where you are, you can love other people where they are. Agreed? Now notice how what I said there, you can love them where they are. Not where you want them to be, not where you're going to fix them up to be, but where they are just as they are. Oh, churches could learn a little thing about that, huh? You know, I had a pastor friend, her name was Cindy, and Cindy one morning decided that as she was getting ready to preach that she would dress up like a homeless person and sit outside the front door of the church. where everybody had to pass her by. And she noticed people didn't pass her by. They walked around her, gave her a wide berth. And this one fella had a few words for her, in fact, and she looked him in the eye and began to speak with him, and he finally recognized who it was, and then he said to her, "Well, I hope you're going to clean up before you come to church." Ouch, right? But what about it, friends? Would we welcome everybody who just comes through the door, whether they cleaned up, put on their church clothes or not? Would we stare at them a little bit? Would we whisper a little bit? What would we do? See, because I think sometimes us as church people, we're a lot like someone who hires a housekeeper and we clean our house before the housekeeper comes because we don't want them to see how we really live. Whoa! But we're really a mess, if we're honest. Amen? Once we recognize we are a mess, we can be a mess together. The writers of the Old and New Testaments, they didn't have to clean up their heroes and heroines and make them perfect. They had faults and failures, and they let us know what they were. Amen? They let us know that they weren't perfect. They let us know that they made mistakes. They let us know that they were, you know, broken kind of folks, that they were a mess. In fact, what the scripture writers let us know over and over is that God never used a perfect person except his own son. Everybody else was a mess. Those are the people that God used. Those are the people that Jesus called to follow him. Those are the people that Jesus interacted with. Now, as I mentioned last week, I turned 60 this year. And it was, it's not been a fun time. It really did a number on my mind. And for the first time since I was 16, I began to think that maybe God was done with me. That maybe my time of preaching, maybe my time of being a pastor, maybe my time of being useful to God was done and over. I mean, it was just, well, you can ask Denise, it was not fun at our house. Okay. Now, on Sunday mornings, I put it on. I put on my suit. I put on my good face. I put on my good stuff. And you could hardly tell that this battle was going on inside of me. But it was going on inside of me. I had some good friends that I finally said, my life is a mess to. And they began to pray with me and talk to me and reason with me and show me other places and other ways that God still had something for me. Do you hear me yet? And now I really can say, whoa, I'm just getting started. Now that's not good news for the person that wanted me to be shorter in the middle, but I'm just getting started, right? That this is good stuff, that God has good things for me to do. God has good things for you to do. Amen? If you think that it's used up, that it's over, take a deep breath. Do it. Let it out. Okay, you're still alive. That means it's not over. All right? God still has good things for you. See, I know I'm not alone in this because whether we're inside the church or outside the church, we all have those moments, we all have those feelings, we all have those opportunities when we are feeling that kind of way. In fact, Paul wrote it this way to the Romans, there's nobody living right now, not even one, nobody who knows the score, nobody alert for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. There's no one's living right. I can't find a single one. Oh, Paul says it pretty clear. If you think your life isn't a mess, there's nobody that's exempt from that. Now just let that sink in a moment. Nobody. So when we know this, we can admit that our lives are messy. We can admit and know that Jesus came to meet us in that mess and wants to know our messy hearts, wants to know our messy lives, and wants to begin to make things new right there in that place. We don't have to hire a housekeeper. We don't have to clean up first. He comes anyway. Eugene Peterson says it this way: when we sin and mess up our lives, we find that God doesn't go off and leave us. He enters into our trouble and saves us. Ooh. So what's keeping God out of your heart right now? What is it that's preventing you from letting him enter into your mess? What's keeping you so consumed that you just can't be honest with God and say, God, I'm a mess. I need you. I need you in this part of my life. I need you in this part of my life that I've never let you in before. I need you in my whole heart and not just the pieces I've already given you. I need you in the places where I want to share about my family. I need you in the places where I want to be real about my mistakes. I need you in the places where I need you to hear my doubts. I need you in the places where I want to admit that I don't know how to pray all the time. I need you in the places where I need to let you know I don't really like that person, but you want me to love them anyway. I need you to hear all of those things, God. Okay, maybe that's more about me than you wanted to know. But we need God in all those places. Amen? And when we allow God and allow ourselves to enter into those messy places, God can use the mess. Oh, did you hear that? God can use the mess. It's not that our lives are messy and God needs to make them perfect. It's that God can use our mess. God does his best work when we allow him to just enter into our mess. God does his best work in us when we stop trying to play church and we just are the church. God does his best work when we, imperfect as we are, just start loving other people who are imperfect, right where they are. How many of you like the Peanuts cartoon strip? You know, Lucy the psychiatrist, always giving advice to Charlie Brown. And so Charlie Brown passes by one day and she gives him a little bit of wisdom. Charlie Brown, life is like chairs on the deck of a cruise ship. Some people put their chairs at the back to see where they have been, and others put theirs on the front to see where they are going. Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? And Charlie Brown just responds kind of glumly, I can't even get my chair unfolded. There are days when Charlie Brown and I might be twins. But there's no use pretending. The disciples were a little bit of a mess too, were they not? I just want to leave you with this one last scene from the Gospel of Luke in the 7th chapter. Then Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, about the woman still weeping at his feet. This is the woman who is weeping at Jesus' feet, and her tears are pouring out on Jesus' feet, and she's wiping the tears with her hair and cleaning them. Jesus says, don't you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you didn't bother to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting, but from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven all of her many sins. This is why she has shown such great extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. You know, I just want to share from that scripture just one point, although there are many. Peter had this idea of what it meant to be spiritual, right? He had this idea of what it meant to hang out with Jesus. He had this idea of what it looked like to do all the right things in the right kind of way. And this woman wasn't it. She didn't fit in. She didn't look spiritual. She didn't sound spiritual. She wasn't doing what he considered spiritual things. And yet Jesus says, she got it and you didn't. Spirituality is not a formula. It's not a test. It's a relationship. It's never finished. It isn't always up and to the right. It's a wild and crazy circle that sometimes veers and goes off the path and comes back on, that's sometimes very messy. Sometimes it's filled with deep prayers and sometimes it's filled with shallow prayers. Sometimes it's filled with great wisdom and sometimes it's filled with great doubt. But spirituality is at its most and at its least a relationship with our living Lord Jesus. And when we know that, we can bring our messy lives to him and kneel at his feet and never stop kissing him. The early church was a mess. I look at the church, we haven't learned that much. We're still a mess. But here's the good news. Jesus meets us in our mess. Amen. And does his best work there. I want to invite you to pray with me. I want to invite you to take your hands right now and just kind of lay them out there before you. And don't look at me. Don't look at anybody else. Just look at your own hands right now. And as you look at those hands, some of them have wrinkles. Some of them have a few scars. Some of them have a little bit of arthritis in the knuckles. Some of them you're going, oh, didn't trim that fingernail today. Some of them have jewelry and some of them don't. But these are the hands that God uses. Amen? These are the hands that are in the mess of life. Sometimes cleaning, sometimes holding and caressing, sometimes offered in friendship. Sometimes, although we don't want to admit it, pushing people away. These are the hands that God can use. God, we ask you today to use our hands. We ask you to use our hearts. We ask you to use our eyes and our ears. May they be open to the people that you place in our midst. May they be open to release what needs to be released and to receive what you have to offer. May they be opened and used for your honor and for your glory today, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.